And if you would, open your Bibles. I'll be reading five verses of Scripture from the book of Joshua, the first chapter. A couple of weeks ago, we sung either on Wednesday night or Sunday service, I don't remember which, but we sung, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And the third verse of that song says, "Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me." And the reason we can sing that song, the reason we can stand here tonight and say, "I shall not be moved," is because Jesus never fails. He will never, ever let us down. He will never fail. Brother Jones mentioned it twice this morning in service, once in Sunday school, once in the morning service, that Jesus will not fail us. He will not. He cannot. In life, well, we have, all of us have had times when someone has let us down, whether it's a family member, friend, co-worker, someone has let you down. But as a Christian, hopefully we all have come to realize by now that Jesus is more than just a friend or a co-worker. But He is the Son of God, and He is someone that His Word, by His Word, He will never let us down. He will be there for us. Just as Missy has mentioned in that testimony tonight, how God was right there. He will never fail us. He will always be right there for us. He has all the power of heaven available to Him. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present in our lives. And knowing that He will never fail, He cannot fail, if we lean on Him and trust in Him, we won't fail. Amen? Because if we're leaning upon someone that can't fail, how can we fail? Amen? We just got to learn. We sung it this morning. Learn to lean on Jesus. Whether you've been saved 5 years or 55 years, I think it's a thing that we continually learn to lean more and more upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never, ever fail us. In the first chapter of Joshua that I've asked everyone to turn to, we know that Moses has now died. God has called Joshua aside and said, "I want you to lead my nation from the wilderness into the promised land." And in the fifth verse of that chapter, God speaking to Joshua says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And the title for my sermon tonight is not difficult to figure that out. Jesus will not fail us. Amen. God is so good. First, let me ask you a question. Was this promise to Joshua that God would never fail him or forsake him, was that an unconditional promise? Yeah. Yes, it was. He told him, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Because then he says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success." Joshua, I believe, kept God's law. I believe Joshua meditated on God's law day and night. I believe he was a man that God loved and God blessed and prospered because he meditated on God's word day and night. In Sunday school this morning, what's the young boy's name that was in your class? Josh? The one that asked you that question? Jaden. Jasmine's a little boy. Anyway, he asked Joyce this morning, she said, they were talking about healing. He says, "Why don't we see people getting healed?" And he's how old? Six? Eight. Here's a young boy asking, "Why aren't people being healed?" I ask you, why aren't we being healed? People said, "Where's the power of God?" Well, where is the power of God? Is it God's fault? No. This echo's throwing me off a little bit. But where was I? But the reason I believe we don't have that power is because we don't meditate in God's Word day and night like we ought. We don't observe all of God's commandments for our lives. And then we wonder, well, why isn't God answering my prayers? Why isn't God doing this? Well, we're cheating God. We're not giving ourselves to Him like we ought to. And I'm not just throwing this out to you because I'm so perfect. But all of us, I believe, if we would meditate upon God day and night and do all that He commands is within His Word. It's not a hard way to walk with God. It's an easy way. Being a sinner is the hard way. God has made everything possible for us. He already told us He will not fail us. Joshua, as I said, I believe he has such a relationship with God, and His Word proves it out. For any man that can be in battle and stop, not even stop, but just keep on his battle, I believe, and say, sun, stand still, and moon. He didn't even stop and check to see if God answered. He just kept going. A man that can have that kind of confidence, that kind of faith, what a relationship. And why could he have that? Because he's been meditating upon the Word of God day and night. He kept all of God's words. Can we have that same? We can have that same relationship. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, why? Why? You know, I believe I have faith, but then again, I ask, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, we pray for people to heal, and I know God's our healer, and it's not God's fault we're not seeing miracles. And then it comes back to me, or it comes back to you. Where are we in our relationship with the Lord? His Word is the same today as it was 3,000 years ago. His power is the same today as it was 3,000 years ago. What He did then, He can do for us today. Help us to be where we need to be. So when we call upon Him, He'll answer us. He loves us. He cares for us. Joshua wasn't this great individual, great human. He was a man just as I am. But yet he had great power with God. But you say, and I believe God never failed him. But you might say, well, how about Ai? They conquered Jericho and they go to Ai and they get defeated. Was that God's fault? Did God fail Joshua? No. Man failed God. God told him, don't take the spoils of Jericho, those are mine. But Brother Achan thought he knew better and thought he could get away with it. So when they went to battle, they were defeated because there was sin in the camp. And once God came and worked it out with Joshua, God poured judgment upon Achan, then they went forth and then they had victory. And I believe God was with Joshua each and every step of the way, blessing him and not failing, never forsaking him, but he was there all along the way. He proved himself time and time again. He turned to the 24th chapter of Joshua. Here Joshua is coming down to his last days. And he calls all the children of Israel together and he starts speaking to them as God speaks to his heart. And God says, and ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hevites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and dwell in them, a vineyards and olive yards which you planted, and do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. God, time and time again, drove out those before them so that they could inherit the promised land that God promised them to have. Time and time again. Why? Because Joshua was faithful to God and sought God, and God prospered him. God helped him and met their every need as long as they walked with God. And you ask, well, is that promise for us today? Surely it is. Now, I can't find those exact words in the New Testament where God says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, but I can find in God's Word where God sent His Son unto us, and His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus' last words to His disciples was, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. And we can find throughout the New Testament, verse after verse, which supports this thought of mine, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we could turn over to Romans where Brother Paul wrote about tribulations and distresses or persecutions or famines or nakedness or pearl or sword. And he goes on and says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I wrote my Bible some time ago. We are victorious. And as I was preparing for this week, I put, and Jesus never fails. Jesus will not fail. Can I promise you that this promise that God gave Joshua is for us today? I can stand here with all assurance. Yes, it does. Our Lord does not, will not, cannot fail us. That just the same God that served Joshua and provided this promise to him, He can provide that promise, and we can stand on that hope today that He will not fail us. Jesus is good. Jesus will never fail us. With this knowledge that God will never fail us nor forsake us, does that mean we won't face tribulations or trials or troubles or sorrows or heartaches? No, no. Joshua found out real quick after they got across the Jordan and fought and won the great war at Jericho. And then the next day they go out, or next battle to Ai, and they get defeated. I think that's blindsided Joshua. I think it was probably caught him by surprise. Because he fell on his face and ran his clothes and he cried out to God. He said, ask him, why bring us across the Jordan to face defeat at the hands of the Amorites? Would it have been better if we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan? I believe this caught Joshua by surprise. It probably shook him a little bit. And in our lives, I think we'll have things that will happen to us and we'll go, wow, what was that all about? Or a blindside to knock us not to our knees, but could shake us, discourage us. Get us to a point where we wonder, what is happening? I can't figure this out. What am I to do? But we can't look down. We need to look up. Our redemption draws nigh. I believe Joshua looked to God. Troubled, yes. Discouraged, probably, yes. But not defeated. He did not resort to human direction, thought, or feelings, but he called upon God. He sought God, and God worked everything out. That the troubles they had at Ai, because of Achan's sins, they took care of that, and God provided victory after victory after victory. And God will do the same thing with us. As we walk through this wilderness that we're walking through, led by God, God will see us through every trial, every battle, every hill, every valley. God will see us through. When we get discouraged, don't stay there. Look up to God. He will lift you up. He will provide the way for us. And we think sometimes, I've got to get through my head, that no matter the size of the battle, how great or how small, it's God's battle. We've got to leave it to Him. We don't fight against flesh and blood, as Paul told us in Ephesians, but we fight against spiritual weakness in high places. And we cannot fight that battle. We've got to turn it over to the Lord. I think of King Jehoshaphat so often that when he had the Moab and Ammon came against him. In a great multitude, and he was afraid, he was scared. What did he do? He didn't run to the generals and start getting the game plan, how to fight the battle. He went to God and called a great fast throughout the land, that every man, woman, and child, and himself would fast and seek the Lord, and the Lord comes back. He says, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but it's mine. We need to get that same thought in our minds. For God will not, cannot fail us. And we will not fail if we trust in Him, if we go to Him. But so often we think, I can handle this. Or I talk to so-and-so and we got it all figured out. No, that's when we get in trouble. Let us go unto the Lord, seek Him, seek His direction, seek His strength. He will provide the way. He will provide the victory. He will not fail us. Amen. God is so good. Let me ask you a question. Is this wishful thinking? No, wishful thinking is Santa Claus is coming this Christmas. That's wishful thinking. We're standing upon the Word of God. We're standing upon His Word that will not fail us. He will see us through. He will give us victory. Amen. We can't look into ourselves, but we need to continue to look into the Lord. Continue to look to Him. We can look at throughout this Bible, story after story, verse after verse, and see where if it had not been for God, man would have faced the destruction, would have been zapped, would have been lost a long, long time ago. But God will not fail. We can look at Moses. The first story I always think about when I'm preparing this, I don't know why, but Moses and the children of Israel, they come to the Red Sea, trapped, going to get wiped out. But God will not fail. Then 3 days later, after that great victory, they don't have no water. They begin to moan and groan. But God cannot fail. The three Hebrew boys in the fire, fiery furnace. The king says, did we throw up 3 boys in the fire? And they come back, oh, yes, king. And he says, but I see 4. Because God will not fail. Daniel thrown in the lion's den because he failed not to pray. And he prayed and they threw him in thinking it was going to be punishment. But God does not fail. Samson's desire to be avenged to the Philistines. God does not fail. The disciples on different occasions in the boat when the winds and the waves were threatening to drown them. But Jesus never fails. Man could not cast out demons, but Jesus does not fail. Man could not feed the multitudes when there were so many, but Jesus does not fail. Multitudes came with different sorts of diseases and sickness, but Jesus does not fail. I could go on and on and on. There's story after story how Jesus does not fail. Amen. God is so good. I've got one more I'd like to mention, and then I'll close. But in the book of Mark, chapter 15, Jesus has already been arrested. They bring him before Pilate. And Pilate asks him some questions. He said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, thou sayest. He asks him some other questions. Jesus does not answer him. He finds no fault in him. So he doesn't know what to do. He's kind of in a bad spot there. But he figures, well, I'll offer Barabbas. And this insurrectionist, a murderer, surely they'll release Jesus, not this man. So he offers. They said, give us Barabbas. He said, are you sure? He says, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. So he turns Jesus over to be crucified. And they beat his back until it was raw. And as some believe his internal organs, his lungs and livers and all could be exposed. He got beat that bad. And then they lead him out through Jerusalem to a hill called Golgotha where they lay him down and they pound the nails in his hands and his feet and they raise him up. And there in verse 29, verse 30, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Here Jesus is at his weakest time physically. As I mentioned, his back, such bad, bad shape, like raw hamburger meat. He's bleeding from there. He's bleeding from his scalp where they plunged that thorn of crowns upon his head. His hands are bleeding. Blood's just pouring. He's so weak. And yet those that he came to save, those that he wished that he could gather unto himself, they are now walking by him and railing on him, the Bible says. Railing. I looked that up and it says, to denounce, protest against, or attack somebody in a bitter or harsh language. I can't imagine the suffering that Jesus went through for you and me. From the time he was arrested, spit upon, beard plucked, smoked, beaten, lied about, falsely accused, out to the cross, nailed to a cross, and yet the very people you are dying for come by and rail against you. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't just some other man? Aren't you glad that Jesus was and is who he said he was? That he is the Son of God, full of love, mercy, and grace. And that just because the people did not come to him and rejected him and railed upon him. I'm thinking any time along this time, from the time they arrested him to the time he's hanging on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels. And they would have come and taken him and ushered him into glory, leaving us behind, lost, undone, headed for a devil's hell. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus never fails? He came to do the will of the Father. And yet, those that he came for... Oh, if it was me, I'd give up a long time ago about these people. I'm sorry, it's just me. But hopefully I'll be better because I'm a Christian. But yet, the love of Jesus, the compassion he had for us... Oh, aren't you glad he was willing to pay that price that we may have life? And he paid that deep of a price, that great of a price that we could have life. Don't you think he wants to he'll do anything he can to make sure that you make it to heaven? Now, he's not going to knock you in the head and drag you there. But he's not going to let you go to hell without a fight. He's going to do what he can to convict and stir your heart to make sure you stay on the straight and narrow. He paid a great price. Aren't you glad that we're serving the Savior that will not, that cannot ever, ever fail? Hallelujah. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. And in closing tonight, I have one final thought. With all the turmoil and trouble that is going on in this world today, seemingly getting worse all the time, Jesus has the Word to soothe us, to help us, to encourage us,
to bring peace, to bring comfort, to bring victory. All we need to do is get in His Word.
That's why God told Joshua a long time ago, meditate upon My Word day and night, and then seek to do all that's in My Word. He's got the Word of eternal life. Who else can we turn to? He's got the Word. Amen. And Brother Jones used the verse this morning. I'm going to read right now and close in tonight. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you will be also. And I left something out. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you will be also. What a promise. What a promise. And again, this is not wishful thinking. This is the blessed hope Brother Jones preached about this morning. We've got a blessed hope. This is not wishful thinking. It's going to happen as sure as I'm standing here tonight. The Lord's going to call us home. We are those children the Bible talks about, where the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we that remain alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the air and to be ever with Him. Amen. He's coming. He's coming soon. Aren't you glad we're serving a God that cannot, that will not ever, ever fail? That is our Jesus. Amen. And if we just need, as I've tried to emphasize tonight, it's on us. God has paid the price. He's given us all. He's promised He won't fail us. Now, help us to do what we can to ensure our salvation, to ensure that when we pray unto God, that He'll hear our prayers, He'll answer our prayers, whatever the need might be. There's needs. And we just need to be at a place where we call out to God, as Joshua called out to God, said, "Sun, moon, be still." God, it didn't take God a week to arrange all that. When God heard it, He answered His man. Just like that. We don't have to beat ourselves and all we got to do is have a relationship so close to God that when we call out to Him, you think it's any harder for Him to stop all the universe in a second moment of time than it is to heal somebody? My, my, my. Where's our faith? God help us, I pray. We're serving a God that cannot ever, ever fail. Amen, amen. Let us, Missy, if you would, come to the piano for me tonight. God is so good. God is so good. And as Missy